It is wonderful to be with you today. Thank you very much for those, as Justin mentioned, who are here in person with us, and to those who are tuned in online. We are in a time where, unfortunately, it is still a bad virus out there. And so we want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to be able to be with us as soon as they can, and we want to be together with everyone as much as we can. And so thank you again for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. We are on the theme this year of Elevate. You know, it's amazing when we've adopted a theme, how much of that just comes to surface in my life. You know, last year, Vision, I think that came to focus, I should say, that came to really be a tremendous theme for the year because there was so much out of focus. But this year, Elevate, you know, as I try to adapt that to my own life and look at things I need to elevate more, it's amazing when you're looking for sermon ideas and you're praying over what to say and what to preach and talk about. It comes up and you hear it from all different places. Well, I was listening to a source recently and they were talking about our walk with God. And so I got to thinking about that. And so this week I want to challenge us. And walk now, it can include a lot of things. But one thing I want us to understand through all of this is our walks with God are essential. When I say walk with God, I'm talking about Enoch walk with God. You remember Enoch, right? He was a character in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. He's also referenced in the book of Hebrews in what we call Hall of Fame of Faith. He was very famous for walking with God, and then he was no more. In other words, God took him from this earth. But what a great testimony he left and for us, our duty in life. We being known for a lot of things isn't that important, but being known for our walk with God is critical to our soul. Jesus talked about being the light, right? He talked about us walking in the light, obviously, letting our light shine, being the light of the world so we can be a city that's set on a hill so that others can see us and see Christ living in us. John, as Ethan read to us, which we'll get to in just a moment, talked about us walking in the light. Today, we are surrounded by darkness. This society that we live in, this country we live in, this world we live in, there's a lot of darkness. But you know what stands out in darkness? Light. You go into a dark room and you have the smallest of lights, then you can see a whole lot better than even if, you know, you thought, hey, I could turn all the lights on and see perfectly, but just the smallest of lights sometimes can make such a huge difference. And so I today want us to elevate our walk with God as we strive to walk in the light as He is in the light. As Ethan read to us from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says there, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's Jesus, that's God, that's the Spirit, and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. You see, that can't go hand in hand. I can't say I've got fellowship with God. I can't say I've got fellowship with Jesus and walk in darkness. Those two don't go together, he said. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And think about this great part of this verse, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The word cleanses is written in the present tense. That means it is not past. It is right where we are. If I am walking in the light, as Jesus walks in the light, as He is in the light, I have fellowship with one another, and His blood, present tense, cleanses us from our sins. So when you think about it, our walk with God is critical. Our walk in the light is critical. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Another probably passage that's familiar to us. In Psalm 100, we have the following psalm. It's not a long psalm, but it's a very powerful one. And it's going to be the main part of our text today. The psalmist says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Well, today, while we strive to walk with God, what I want us to think about is Psalm 100. Psalm 100 doesn't, when you first read it, look like it is a passage about walking with God, but it lays out a perfect formula for what we ought to do to elevate our walk. To remind us every day, whether we are walking with God at worship, or whether we are walking with Him at work, or whether we are walking with Him at school, or the store, or restaurant, or wherever we go, our walk with God is essential, and Psalm 100 is going to play a critical role in that today. So what we're going to do is take the word walk, and we're going to make it an acrostic. We're going to break down those letters, W-A-L-K. And so as I think about and I elevate and I challenge myself with my walk with God, I want you to think about the W being, number one, I need to worship God joyfully. Go back now to Psalm 100. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. We just talked about this in our Bible class this morning. We're talking about how to be involved in the kingdom and how to remain involved in the kingdom. Part of that is our walk. As we walk with God, we need to think about how is our walk with God. When we walk, I'm talking about walk on this earth, walk in this heat, walk in this terrain that's surrounding us, our literal walks now. When we walk, it's not always joyful. Some of you may think, oh yeah, it's joyful because the alternative is I'll be gone. But a lot of people are thinking it's not joyful when they get out and they walk. Even though they may enjoy the results, there's a lot of pain to get to that point. It's hot. You got to get yourself motivated. Maybe your back is hurting. Maybe your legs are hurting. Maybe your knees are hurting, and so there's a lot of challenges to it. Well, guess what? The devil wants us to believe that our spiritual walks are not, or should not be joyful. He wants us to think that your walk with God is a waste of time. But the psalmist said, no, if you're making a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, then your walk is never going to be tiresome. It's never going to be painful. It's always going to be a blessing. If we are walking in the light, then one thing is going to be apparent. Our worship will be filled with joy. Do you realize the first four of the Ten Commandments, and I understand we're not bound by the Ten Commandments today, but do you realize the first four of the Ten Commandments, they really, if you look at them, deal with worship. So I believe it reminds us, when you look at it that way, worship is vital to God. It's important to God. No other gods before Him, right? He wants to be first. So my question to you today, when it comes to our walk, how do you approach worship? Is it a chore? Is it a burden? Is it a have to? You think about a child on Christmas Eve night. They have a hard time going to sleep. You know why? Because the big guy's coming, and there's going to be some gifts that next morning, right? It's going to be an exciting time. As a child, I had a hard time going to sleep. I remember thinking, man, my adrenaline was flowing, you know, and I got to get to sleep, I got to get to sleep, I got to get to sleep, and you fight it, you fight it, you fight it. Why? Because you're so excited, you're so happy, because you can't wake up the next day and see it. Now, keep that mindset. Now think about this one. You've got you a new gym membership. You've been to the doctor. They said, hey, you got to lose some weight. You got you a new diet. You got you a new treadmill or elliptical or something waiting on you when you get to that gym. Which approach is more full of joy? I'm going with that child, right? Not the one that says, hey, I've got to go to my vehicle, use my gas. There's all kinds of excuses we make, right? Man, it costs gas to go. I got to do this. I got to do that. I don't really have the time. And it's painful. And I don't, you know, and we make all these excuses. Which walk is more pleasant? Well, folks, I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where our worship, our approach should be. Worship should be, we should be those children. As we go to bed on Saturday night, I can't wait to get up to worship God. Unfortunately, that's not the case with everyone. There are some people that Sunday worship is an afterthought. It is not critical. It is something they do when it's convenient to them. Again, I've said this numerous times over the years, but when it comes to our walk with God, what a lot of people do is put our lives. Here is Terry Cagle's life, okay? Just picture Terry Cagle's life as a post. And I drive that post into the ground. And I say, okay, God, I love you, but I need you to understand my life is busy. My life is full of frustration. My life is full of heartache. So I need you, if you don't mind, to go around me in circles. Revolve around me. And God, if you'll understand, when it's convenient, when I'm not too busy, when I don't have a million things going on, I'm going to worship you. God, when it's convenient, when I feel, or when I have a need, when my heart is stressed, I'm going to pray to you. God, I'm not going to read a whole lot because I have a hard time reading. And, you know, when I do go to worship, Terry says some scriptures and I hear them. And, you know, that becomes people's approach. That's people's walks today. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, you know I'm telling the truth. We may not look at it in those terms, but that's the reality. Oh, see, that's not the way it should work. That's going to the gym. That's that mentality. The mentality of that child on Christmas Day puts the cross and drives it in the ground. And then we revolve around the cross. God, everything I do is going to center around you. That's the walk that I've got to get to today. Worship God joyfully. We are here to draw near to God. We are here to hold fast our confession of our hope. We are here to consider one another to stir up love and good works. Once we do that, we do not want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. The Hebrew word for noise in verse 1 of Psalm 100 literally means to shout, raise a sound, cry out, give a blast. Let me say that again. The word he used literally means to shout, raise a sound, cry out, give a blast. Now, I'm not saying that we should all be out of control, right? We've got to do worship decent and in order. But at the same time, we shouldn't look like we just ate a whole bag full of lemons. We shouldn't sing like, you know, we're trying out for, I don't know if American Idol still comes on, but that, you know? We shouldn't sing like people are going to judge us. And like, oh, I can't sing, so I'm just going to sing real quiet, and I'm going to hold out, you know. Is that a joyful noise to God? I'm just going to say no. Okay, I'll deal with that in the afterlife if he says I was wrong. But I believe that's not telling God, I love you. I praise you. Or when it comes to whatever act of worship, we have to understand our walk with God matters. And if I'm going to walk it the right way, then it starts with my worship. I need to worship God joyfully. It's about serving God. It's not about me. It's about Him. The closer we are with God, the more we should desire to serve Him. So as we walk with God, think about your worship. The letter A, we need to acknowledge God daily. Acknowledge God daily. If I'm going to have the walk I need to have with God, it begins with my worship, then it begins with my acknowledgement. How I recognize who God is in my life. Look back at what we learned about God in verse 5, Psalm 100, verse 5. Listen to the things we learned just in that one verse. He is good. He is steadfast in His love and mercy. He is faithful, and He's not a respecter of persons. Those four things we learned about God in one verse. When I think about God and I think about how good He is, you know what else I need to do? I need to let Him know how good I think He is. How good is God? I mean, we don't have time today to go around this room and talk about how good God is in your life and my life. But can we not think of a few things right now, just that quick? Have you seen God today? Have you seen God yesterday? Did you see God Friday? Did you see God last week? Have you seen God lately? Well, how about recognize it to Him and tell Him, God, I am so thankful that You showed up when You didn't have to. When I wasn't even looking for You, You were there. You know what that does? It tells God we love Him, we acknowledge Him, but it improves our walk. Because now I'm going to walk looking for God. Not looking for how miserable my life is. God's love, His mercy. How amazing is that? We gathered around this table and Jeff reminded us of the importance of Jesus, the importance of investing in Him. And so when I think about investing in Jesus Christ, I've got to think about His love and His mercy. God has never let His people down. Nor will He ever. Now, I let Him down all the time. But He's never let me down. Search it. Genesis to Revelation. Look for it. Not one time did God let His people down. He doesn't care what color, what size, what sex, what shape, what language we speak, He loves us all. He loves us equally. Question. Someone today wrote us a check and we became instant millionaires. Instant millionaires. How are we going to treat that person? I imagine we're going to treat them pretty well. I would imagine you say, hey, can I at least take you to lunch? You know, their birthday, we're going to put that in our calendars, right? We're not going to forget that. We're going to always wish them the nicest Facebook message, happy birthday possible. We're going to bake them cakes. We're going to love them. We're going to appreciate them. We're going to do whatever. We'll cut their grass. We'll do whatever we got to do for them, right? Why? Because it just made us instant millionaires. But how are we treating God? God made us far richer than millionaires. He made us heirs of the kingdom. What are we doing to acknowledge Him? How is our walk? We should joyfully be praising God every day. That's part of our walk. The L in walk stands for, maybe, okay, there it goes, love God continuously. Love God continuously. Listen to verse 4, Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. You know, I've been to Buckingham Palace. Isn't that crazy? Think this old country bumpkin from Wilmer, Alabama has been to Buckingham Palace. Let me tell you how Buckingham Palace is. It's a pretty nice place. Walk the streets of London and you see this huge mansion, if you will. You know what's outside Buckingham Palace? Black wrought iron fence that's very tall. At the front of the entrance of Buckingham Palace are guards who you cannot interfere with. They are stone cold on alert. People try to make them blink and do all that stuff and everything else. When I went to Buckingham Palace, they didn't say, "Hey, man, you want to just go in and talk to the Queen?" I didn't walk past those guards. I didn't walk past that gate. I didn't walk into Buckingham Palace and sit down and have a conversation with the Queen. I know that's hard to believe, but that is true. It's hard to go in and talk to the Queen. But it's real easy to talk to the King of Kings. The book of Revelation is a pretty fascinating book. Do you know at the beginning of it, though, John talks about the crystal sea. Now, I think it's cool that there's the crystal sea around the throne of God, because that means it's not choppy waters. It's not rough waters. It's slick as glass. Around the throne of God, there's no anxieties, there's no worries, there's no struggles. But by the time you get to Revelation 21, guess what? John sees a new heaven and a new earth, and there is no more sea. Think about that. Right now, around the throne of God, there's a separation still. We're not there yet. But even in the separation, there's calmness. But there's coming a moment in time when the sea is gone and I can approach directly the throne of God. They won't let old Terry Cagle stroll up and have a conversation with the Queen of England. But God Almighty will let me have a conversation with Him anytime I want. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. The keys to entering and walking in love to God: be grateful, praise Him. It's about loving Him with everything we have. You know who God will allow to come to Him today? Those who love Him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. If we want to walk to God today, the only cost is our love. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to get shot at. You don't have to get ridiculed. You just love Him and walk to Him. If we're going to walk and enter the kingdom of God, it must be done in love. It must be done in praise. Finally, this morning, as we walk with God, we worship God joyfully, we acknowledge God daily, we love God continuously, and then we know God intimately. Verse 3, Psalm 100. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." In order to walk with God, in order to walk to God, we must know God. Yes, we must worship joyfully. We must acknowledge Him daily. We must love Him continuously. But we've got to know Him. We've got to know God, and we've got to know Him intimately. We must know Him as Lord. You, in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, most of the times He's referred to, especially Ezekiel writes a lot about this, as sovereign. You know what that means? There's no one higher. He is the sovereign Lord. If you look up the definition of know in this context, there's a lot of definitions that go with it. One of the definitions I like the best, it says, to know by experience. In order to know God, you know what you got to do? You got to experience Him. You got to have a relationship with Him. You see, I know who Jeff Bezos is. Richest man in the world, right? Started a little business selling books in his garage. Now he owns Amazon. But I don't know him. I know he is. I don't know him. I don't know him especially well enough to say, hey, could I have a few million dollars? Right? We can know who God is all day long and never know who God is. But those people that say they know God and they don't experience God are the same ones that want to call Him up and say, can you get me out of this and get me out of that and lead me out of this and lead me out of that? That's not a walk. That's a bump into occasional. Today, if you and I want to know God, we must experience God. There's only one God. He is sovereign. He is Lord. Or at least He better be. I can sum up the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation with one simple verse. You want to know what it is? Here it is. Know that the Lord, He is God. From Genesis to Revelation, here is the summary. Know that the Lord, He is God. You know what the Old Testament's about? The Lord is God. You know what the New Testament's about? Jesus is Lord. Know that the Lord, He is God. The Lord is God, Old Testament. Jesus is Lord, New Testament. In closing, right now, the question has to be, who is your Lord? Do you know the Lord? Do you know God? Have you experienced Him? Are you worshiping God joyfully? Are you acknowledging God daily? Are you loving God continuously? Do you know God intimately? The answer to that is no. I want you to look at a relationship with God three ways. I want you to look at your walk one of three ways. There's a fourth in there we don't want to talk about. The fourth is I'm not walking anything near God. That's none of us today, right? So my question today is, are you number one walking to God? That's how it starts. God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. God, I'm so sorry for not worshiping the way I need to worship, for not acknowledging, for not loving, for not knowing. God, I am so sorry. I am ready to leave it all at the cross. I'm ready to make You, Jehovah, and You, Jesus, Lord of my life. That's walking to God. Today, you can walk to God. The second part of that is, once I've walked to God, guess what He's going to do? He's going to walk with me. God's going to walk with me. He's going to coach me along. Jesus told those disciples in Matthew chapter 28, He said, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age. You listen, there's some scary times out there. Once you walk to God, I'd love to tell you it was all gone. But guess what? It's not. But now He's walking with you. You know what the third stage is as we keep growing? We're now walking for God. We're walking for Him. Everything I do points me back to God. Everything I do points it back to the kingdom. Everything I do, it is for God. Walking to, walking with, walking for. Where are we? Where are we? Today. Elevate your walk. It must start with walking to. But maybe you're here today, and after you walk to, you quit walking. You walked away. Well, now it's time to walk back to walk with, and to walk for. Today, how's your walk? If you need to make a change, if you need to start walking, if you need to get things right, you can walk this aisle today and do that. And we encourage you to. We've prayed for you to. And we invite you to come right now together. We stand and sing.